Hello and welcome to ChatSif Get Banged, the Team Calamity Final Fantasy TCG podcast show. I am your host Tom Hall, and today I am joined by Team Calamity's Mitch Lander.
Hello.
And Choco Ben. Oh no, Chocobo Ben is what your Discord name is. Yeah, I just remember we had
Chocobo Ben,
ripping off Choco Billy. Oops. And as is our Legend review show, we usually have Michael McMillan from the YYT, but he went rogue this week and has done his own review on his own channel. So we cancelled him, and instead we've upgraded to previous world champion, Alex Hancocks.
Upgraded, I like that one.
Yeah.
Hello, everybody.
We're trying to think of the best way to... We didn't want to say we were replacing Michael, but we have...
Michael, you're out. We got a better one.
So we'll be reviewing the Opus 13 Legends. Before we get started, how's everyone feeling about the new Opus? Comes out this Friday, obviously. Had pre-release, kind of, last week. Looking at the groups, it's been sort of a mixed bag, really. You can see some people really hyped, some people a bit disappointed. Personally, I'm sort of somewhere in the middle. But what are we thinking?
And I've made too many decks already. Too many decks.
Yeah, I agree. Like, when I first looked at it, I was too salty about the FF13 not being around. But now I've started to build a little bit more. I can see combos and stuff like that. So it's starting to... It's a slow burner, but I do like it.
I'm pretty excited about it, on the other hand. I don't know. I guess I'm always excited for new cards these days, but... A lot of good support for otherwise underwhelming archetypes this set, like Earth Water, so I'm keen to see how that shakes up the meta we had for Opus 12.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot in the set. It's just not obvious this time. So, like Mitch said, it might be a bit of a slow burner. And actually, I found it more interesting outside of the Legends. Normally, you look to the Legend as the starting point, but there's some interesting stuff. Outside the Legends.
Legend review.
It's not the best intro, is it? So we might as well just get straight into it. That's what the whole point of this episode is. So we're reviewing the Legends. What we do on our show, Alex, I explain it to you because I don't know if you've ever heard on of our review shows before. So we rank all of the Legends from S tier to C tier. So A, B, and C. However, you can only have limited slots per tier. So for S, it's limited to 2 cards. And then A, B, and C, you can have 4 cards. So you have to order your cards to make them fit into the rank. So we've had some times where, you know, the sets are really strong. So you put stuff in C and you're not saying it's crap. It's just because you think other stuff is better. But sometimes they are just a C card anyway. It's a mixture. Yeah, it's usually quite interesting. We've got a bit of a mix of styles here this week. So obviously, Alex, we're expecting sort of a heavy meta focus from you, from your reviews. I don't know, many of you probably read Alex's review already because he does the write-ups. So this might mix it up a bit because you can't just say everything's good. You're going to slip it in. We've got a full variety. That said, if we have a look at how we went last time, just for cred, so... Last time, Alex, the ranks went Mitch, Peter, and Michael all had Kryle as a C. Locke was in a B for Mitch, and he went for S, Lena, and Regis.
So, are you just trying to lower my opinion of Mitch or something?
Yeah,
I've just I was in the chat last time and I was screaming that Kral was an S tier, but no one was listening to me.
Yeah, it was more sort of Peter and Mitch tend to, when we just do in the team, they tend to be sort of our meta focused players. So it's just highlighting that that's not always the best way to do it.
Last set, I took it, this as a joke, but I didn't realise it was this serious, and so now I've really thought about it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And then, yeah, as Ben said, he wasn't on the review panel, but he was in the chat, and he was plugging S for Kryle. And I'll just point out, I went A for Kryle and S for Locke, so if that flips your opinion on the panel slightly, something to bear in mind. Cool, okay, let's get started. I'm going to do him in the order that is on the Square Enix site, which should be the proper order, because Mitch normally have a go at me for skipping the order or doing it in the wrong order. If you want to play along with us, and there is a link to a tier maker website where you can drag the cards in into your own tier as well. And the cool thing is, if people do it and then save your sheet, the site should give us an average for how people have ranked them. I don't know how many it needs, but hopefully it's less than 10. We might get it, but we'll see. Okay, so we'll go first up. What we'll do is I'll let one of you lead on each card, and then unless in the sort of interest of time, unless you've got sort of a polarizing opinion on it, we won't have everyone talking about the same card the whole time. That sound right?
Yeah.
First one is Axstar. Who wants to take him as the first up? Otherwise, I'm going to pick. Come on then, Ben, you go.
All right. I've put him in C, but I know he's a good card, but basically his text is too confusing for normal players to play him. And there's going to be a lot of confusion in any kind of tournaments about what he actually does.
Are you talking about this effect goes on the stack business?
Yeah, yeah. And then whether it can target certain things as well. And yeah, there's... we've had multiple different things, and they tried to clear it up, and it made it more confusing, if anything, I think.
Yeah, pretty much.
So I put him as C. I mean, and you'd have to build a special deck around him, to be honest, as well. So,
anyone rated it higher than a C? Or is everyone in agreement with this?
I just did my one now. Pretty happy with how it all looks up. I put him in B tier, I think.
Yeah, I've put him in B as well. Instead of... it's all depending on how good, like, in my opinion, Fire Lightning is going to be. Because I think them two synergize very well. Axstar searching, like, the new Behemoth, and then you've got the self-damaged Seymour and all that sort of stuff. But if that's any good, we'll have to find out. But I think, as an actual discard, it's pretty solid. But B, it's not as good as the others.
I've gone B as well, which is interesting. Sorry, go ahead, Alex.
It's quite a flexible card in terms of, it's not like it could have been probably a dual element and been forced into like Fire Lightning. It could have been like the Fire Lightning Legend if they'd really wanted to. But maybe putting in just fire means a lot of combos. Fire works well, and if it works in water, in fire, lightning, then great. But fire water is already a pretty decent archetype, and maybe it just sees other avenues where EX bursts are popular, able to manipulate the top of your deck a bit better.
Yeah, I guess there's a sort of self-damage fire deck that sort of has possibilities as well. So there's a few cards now where you can sort of self-damage with fire. So it's sort of leaning into that thing. So yeah, I think it's not bad. I think, yeah, plugging in for a heavy EX burst deck and being able to sort of manipulate your deck is what's going to limit it a bit. I think it's a B. I'm not sure. I'm not convinced on it, how consistent it will be. The Searcher card's quite nice as well, at the damage-free Searcher category character. Obviously, FFBE being a new sort of category, really, that's getting a buff, and he's gone straight in for the character. We sort of sometimes see he limits it to forwards for some categories, where others get the character and it just opens it right up. So that's quite nice. Yeah. Sure, okay. Not a bad start, then. I thought it was going to be worse. Okay, so we're moving to Ice, to the Fissilis, to the Ice Legend. Alex, you used to be sort of Mr. Ice for a long time, didn't you? So do you want to lead us out with the Ice Legend?
Yeah, I put that one in the dead bottom of C tier.
Wowzers. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Go for it.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think it's like one of the most underwhelming legends I've ever seen. I think in ICE as it is right now, it doesn't help with any of ICE's problems. It's like very uninteresting as far as ICE legend goes, because I don't know, it's like, it's kind of like, we'll see this in a couple of cards, a couple of the legends here, but it feels like just an up-to-date version of like Sid Alstein in a way. Like, doesn't break a forward like Sid Alstein does, but it's like a more flexible version of Sid Alstein that doesn't require your opponent to be at zero, but gets a reward if you're at zero. But even then, Sid Alstein just wasn't hitting the mark these days. You know, even if your opponent was a zero cards in hand, you blow up their dude. You know, most of the time you're blowing up a dude that wasn't really expensive for your opponent to play, already got value, and they could just, you know, like top decks, the individual cards are so strong these days that you could top deck out of something like Sid Alstein. Same with Fistulous here. It's very hard for me to imagine it lining up. It's very hard for me to imagine playing ice cards at the moment. And also, just like, if you look at discard in general, like without Thaumaturge for a consistent, steady stream of it, There's just no good discard in the game right now. And it's like Sephiroth, and you can play this with like what, Kazuza and Kronos, and go for that kind of turbo discardy aspect. But that's just a kind of old hat these days, I feel like.
So what would you say it's not interesting for an ice legend? What sort of text would you want on an ice legend to make ice? What it needs, etc.
It just needs to say, like, I don't know how you make it as like Sid Alstein or Umaru, but it needs just a way to deal with the problems ICE is facing at the moment. The problems last set were like Tenzin and a Neo X deck. You got these six drop, you know, these even costed, non prime numbered forwards that, you know, either stayed active or just too much power. And Fistless just doesn't deal with any of those problems. But I also just don't think it does anything particularly good against anything else. Like, I don't think against Earth Wind this would have done anything. Last set, this set, you know, you've got all this Water Earth is the, like, the new hotness coming out, and that one, I don't know, it just doesn't feel like it's going to have a problem with this either. I just can't see this card ever just making it up to the top tiers of, you know, ice, you know, the, you know, let alone the meta, just ice in general.
Really interesting.
I think it's just shocking, bro. I think it's just shit.
It's getting worse. You should cut him off. The more he talks about it, it's getting worse. I just say as well, if you're watching live, like, thanks for joining us. Put your ratings in the chat so we can see them, and we'll if you've got something interesting to say, we might read it out as well. But I'm guessing, I have a feeling there's going to be polar opinions on this from the others. Mitch, you quite like this, don't you?
No.
Oh, no, you don't.
No,
okay.
No, I actually don't.
He's topped his list. I know it.
Yeah, as soon as Alex said it, I was like, no, let's swap round. No, I put this in B as well. I agree. I think it is a boring card. I don't think it does anything special, but I don't know. I struggled where to put this card because, as I said, there's nothing special about it. But it's not. I wouldn't say it's not the worst card in this, like, the list of these things in these legends. So this was the card that I struggled with most. I actually I had it in A, then I had it in C, I moved it to B, and then even now I'm thinking
S.
It could go anywhere.
Where have you stuck it?
S is really easy. B.
Sorry, Ben. You've been in B. Ben.
Yeah, I put it in B as well. Basically, only because it gives ice draw, but it's so, you know, dodgy, and the more Alex was going on about it, the more I wanted to put it down to C. But...
Yeah, I don't know. This is bad. I've gone A. What have I done? Now I'm just questioning everything. I can't disagree with what you're saying. Maybe I feel Alex may have been a little bit harsh on it. I quite like it.
So, it also
plus its name is so close to syphilis as well. It's really dodgy.
I feel like this card could have been an EX burst and still not been amazing.
Yeah.
Maybe I just don't like the other cards very much. I'll put it in A. I'll stick with A. That's fine. I'm worried about all my other choices now. I think, going back to what we said earlier, people were disappointed about the set. I think that some people have mentioned about the names of the cards. because this is FFBE and stuff. It's not the massive, the most popular game or the most well known. People like the cards, especially the big cards, like the Legends to be, not the famous characters, if for one, but like the sort of more loved characters or the big names you talk about. We'll get onto when we get to the Ice Earth one, Mitch, but you know, you were gagging for a FF13 Ice Earth and it didn't happen. And stuff, so
it's an interesting way to put it, but yeah.
So maybe, yeah, that's might be where part of it comes in for me. Well, I don't like the other ones as much, but all right, let's move on then, because it's not been massively positive for both of these so far. We'll get to the next one. So the next one is Shara, wind card. Who's not started one? Mitch, you haven't led yet. You start with Shara.
I'm out the gates with a B again. See, I can't. I've struggled with a lot of legends this set because, to me, this could either be really good or really shit. And if you get it early, you want to play it. I think you want to play it early because you want to get the dole off. Like, you want to be able to use the dole ability to protect your stuff. But then if you don't see a Ritz, you're not getting the value out of it. So when do you play it? You have to see a Ritz. And unless I'm wrong, I can't think of a way to search Ritz, really. There's no, like, other than, like, cards like Tyro, which is just opening stuff up. So I really didn't know where to put this. But I do think that it goes well in ice, wind, and protect all of those.
The Randalls and that.
Yeah, the Randalls and stuff like that. And obviously you've got the fire wind with, like, Ledna. Like, they go to discard two to break it. And then you're like, actually, no, I'll just protect it. So it's an interesting card. I think it is strong, but I just don't know when you want to play it. Because it's, once you've played it down, if you've got the Ritz back, I suppose it's replacing itself, but you want something more from your legends. So as I said, I'll just put it in B, just because if I don't know where I'm going to put it, I'm just going to put it in B.
Okay. Has anyone got anything more positive for Shara, or has Mitch nailed it?
I put Shara in A tier. I mean, I'm kind of trying to, as I go, I'm trying to order them in like a particular order, not just by tier, but by rankings in the tier. And I put it like second in A. I think it's one of those cards that's easy to write off. It's probably like Kral in a way. It's definitely not the flexibility of Kral, but it's like she's small and she's specific with the Ritz thing. But I don't know, man. Like, if you do find the Ritz, whether you're playing Ice Wind, Wind Fire, whatever, if we're playing all three for like a zero CP that is going to like protect all of your important things, and she can protect herself. You know, as long as she's alive, like a zero CP that's doing that is pretty good. It allows you to play Ritz and FFTA without having to rely on Marsh, because you know, you add Ritz back player straight away. You get the haste and the 1K, the untap. You get to do lots of things. Yeah, like it's one of those things. If this said add back an FFTA forward or FFTA character, everyone would put probably an S tier. Be like, this is the bee's knees. This card's insane. Hmm. Ritz is like them trying to balance it. And part of me wonders if they do try to balance all this FFTA stuff too much. But I think I'd err on the side of this card is like, you know, it's balanced and it's on the good side of balance. You know, it's still a strong card on top of being balanced.
Ben, where have you positioned this one?
Yeah, I've put it in A as well. Pretty much the same reasons. And you know, if you are running the FFTA a lot, then you can always get fire to give it haste if you need to protect stuff. So, yeah, I've got an A.
Got some insight from the chat coming through. I think it has to be used to get back Ritz. That's about it.
Yeah, but that's his answer.
Sums it up very nicely. I put it in C. I just think it's boring. Ritz was pretty boring in Opus 11. Even though it's very good, it was a bit boring, and it proper janked up Opus 11 because everyone was just running Ritz decks, and I found that a bit boring. So then Ritz gets hard countered in Opus 12, dies off the thing, so then they just chuck in an EX Burst Legend to buff Ritz back. It's like, ugh. Really need that.
Not good.
Yeah, so that's why I don't really like it. A bit dull.
If it goes Fire Wind, then Kadaj will come back. And then they'll look to Icewind because that Sid Randall will stop the Kadaj. So it's sort of, I don't know how.
Circle of life.
Yeah, I don't know how Fire Wind's going to do, but maybe Fire Ice Wind could do it, or just Ice Wind. I don't know. I'm just, as I said, I've really struggled with a few of these legends.
Okay, so let's move on then. We're going to try and find the one that everyone's loving. It's a bit Debbie Downer at the moment, isn't it? Right, Earth Leo is next. Now, Alex, I know you really like this one, so you can lead on him. Unless your opinion has changed now you've seen the rest of them.
I'll put him at the back end of A tier. I think he's on the cusp of the moment. The problem I'm having with him is he's a really good card. It's actually just in the decks I'm building at the moment. It's trying to have him be a worthy inclusion in terms of last set, easy to slot him in with what we're already doing with Earthwind. And this set, we get a bit of extra support. We got Pavlov, for example, another FFCC backup we want to be playing. But then we got the new searcher backup in Sara, which you think would help this card because it can search for Job King. But now it's I don't know, maybe it's just because my focus has moved away from Earthwind from the time being. But and maybe it can still work in Earthwater. You know, you can use Sara to search for Epitaph, to search for Leo. That's already two counters. You maybe get something going there. It's just, I don't know, it's just space at the moment. I think that's the real thing. It's hard to put in. It's just too early for me to know for sure because I'm testing all these new cards which aren't so obvious whether they're good or bad. Like if Leo lives a turn, obviously great card. If he doesn't live a turn, how good is he and how often is he going to live a turn once we get an idea of what the meta is, so I'm not sure. I just know he has great potential, and if he's in a meta where it's not easy to check a 1 CP 3K or it's too expensive to do it, then he'll shine. Otherwise, he probably won't.
And FFCC, Earthwind, you're sort of pretty guaranteed you're going to be able to have a sort of high-ranking deck out of that anyway, aren't you?
Yeah.
It's nicely in that. Has anyone gone lower than A for this? Or we all...
No, I've gone A.
Yeah, I went A. Because I think it paired with the Bartz Bocco. Like, you can do that quite easily in Earthwind, I think. Like, you get the Bartz, the Bocco. You can play Nosh Tarlan to search. Is it the new Slitskin or however it's pronounced?
Stiltskin.
And that can search the Bocco. So all you need to play is the Bartz. And then you can even just run a one off of this, and both of them are FFCC. You can get a three drop back or something lowered, is it White Mage that people run in that deck? I've forgotten. The one that protects your forwards.
Yeah, one cost. Yeah.
You can just get that back, and it seems like a strong opener, but how consistent it is to get the Bartz in Earthwind, I'm not really too sure.
Just checking my notes here. I've put Leo in a C, and I'm worried. So my rationale for this was, Lena last set was very good and rated quite highly, but you had to wait the turn, and if I ever played Lena, it would die by the time I get to do its ability, and you often... the people that were playing it, you sort of were able to kill it. And that was quite hard because it was 8K. This is 3K. Part of me thinks it's going to die easier, in which case you won't get the effect off. I guess you're not putting in the... you're not having to pay as much for it. It's only cost one, but maybe that's the beauty of it, the one cost.
Yeah, I think the way I look at forwards that cost one is if my opponent pays more than one to kill it, then I'm essentially... one
yeah, that's fair. Maybe it's just the FFCC bit that puts me off then. Because you get bucketed into that, and then half your deck becomes FFCC, you're already limited in what you can do with it.
Yeah.
I'd say it's S tier artwork, though.
I think it's my favorite. The artwork on the playing card cards are ridiculous, and the full art ones, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, that's been very popular. I'm not so sure on it, but personally, but... It's good. It's pretty good. Yeah, I do like it. It's quite cool.
Next time our Opus Lytton review is going to be artwork.
I'm just praising Amano artwork.
Yeah, as you can tell, I've not ordered that book, the annual volume 2. Okay, I'll check. I've got everyone's school. Yeah, AAAC. Okay, we're getting through these. So last time, both the last few times we've done this, we end up talking for ages on the first few. And then we have to speed it up, but we're rattling through these. I don't know if that's a good or bad thing.
It's because we did it in a random order last time.
Probably, yeah.
The dual elements.
Just the correct order of doing it. Definitely saved the dual elements till last before. But okay, we'll move into lightning then. So the Behemoth K. Ben, you can have this one.
S is scary. And yeah, it swings, does the damage, and then it's still swinging. It's basically like Astinium was back in the day, and I think it's going to be just as scary. And when we played the draft cube the other day, Astinium kicked my butt. And I'm scared that this is going to do the same. So, S.
Anybody rated it lower or don't think it's a S level?
Put it in B.
Ooh, okay, speak away.
I think it's just like the same thing I was talking about with Fissilis. It's just like an upgrade to Astinian. It's a much better like upgrade than like from Astinian to this than Siddlestein to Fissilis, that reference I was using earlier. It's good in games where like both players are competing on damage. It's one of those things, maybe someone will just end up building a deck that is able to like damage race like frequently as its win condition. Like you're just trading damage every turn rather than trying to deliberately remove your opponent's forge. You're trying to just, you know, you give me a couple of points to activate my Axe Stars and my clouds and my other whatever damage abilities. And then I'll do the same to you. And then the moment someone's on, you know, we're both on a five, my Behemoth K is going to kill you. So I get that kind of extra turn of reach. But it's just until then, it just kind of sits there, being a 5 and a 9k, pretty easy to remove. I don't think it's any more difficult to remove this set. I think like Alexander and Wynn's still going to be popular. As well, if this is going to come down late game, if we get more late game and Diablos becomes more popular, it just gets nuked by Diablos. That was kind of Astinian's weakness in Earth against Windex before, that if it dragged on too long, they'd have the backups to make Diablos good. I can see how it can be powerful. Like, yeah, you got like, you know, you got the OG Red Mage from Opus 1 to give it haste. Sid Previal, though, he'll break when he gives haste to Behemoth K. Still getting in those 2 points of damage is nice. But yeah, I'm still not, I don't know. Every time I put him in a deck, I like test it out, and I just, most of the time, it's just not getting me from like where I start to the win. He's like very good in a pocket of time at the near the end of the game in the closing few turns. Every other time he feels like CP. I don't know if that cuts it as a card in my deck these days, but maybe I'll come around to it.
Mitch, where have you gone?
I went for A, pretty much. Okay. Just to echo what everyone said. It's like I think if you get it on 5 damage, it's like it's a monster. But you're gonna have to. The deck doesn't exist yet, but if you've got a self-damage deck, like the fire lightning sort of thing, I think then it becomes a good, like, very strong card. But if you see it before 5 damage, I wouldn't be too fussed about it.
Because we've got this, the other thing, we've got this FFB Wind Lightning deck that's sort of being muted. You've got that Kunshira, and that's FFB, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you've got the search of FFBs now in Wind. So this sort of points, it sort of fits in that as well, doesn't it? But like you said, it's without you controlling the damage. So you're just looking at trade, and then I'll win.
Right, you can run Cactos, do yourself a point of damage, put yourself to 5, play this down.
And the Kuja as well. Opus 11, yeah. Kuja. Or maybe there's a bit more. I don't know, I put it S because, like Ben, it scares me. As sort of a more regular player. And I don't really ever play Wind. Obviously, Wind is the main outs for this. We've just had Earth Wind as like a sort of meta, sort of top 3, wasn't it? It's probably not going to change too much with this Opus, so yeah, it should be able to deal with it. So maybe that will push it down. But yeah, for the average player, if you're playing something a bit different, when this comes in, it's going to be a big problem. Unless you start playing lots of summons again. Summons been making a comeback, haven't they? So.
Yeah,
I think all these are.
Apart from the Dragoon deck, that's got no summons in. But yeah.
That's going to fall apart to this.
Yeah. Well, you can just. You've got that one that breaks stuff if you reveal loads of summons, loads of Dragoons. Yeah, yeah. You just sacrifice it because it's going to come in cheap anyway.
Yeah.
I guess. But yeah, removal is key once again. Okay, this hasn't been that controversial this time. I think every point is fairly valid. It just doesn't. Sometimes it's a bit more. When someone puts a C and an A, it's like, ooh, you don't know what you're talking about. It's maybe, sort of, everyone just like, yeah, all right.
As well.
Yeah.
It's not a glowing review of the set, is it? We're like, yeah, all right. Yeah, it can be a C, it can be an A. Okay, Water, Avelia, Mitch, make this one exciting and tell me how great Avelia is. Job Princess.
I can tell you how shit it is.
Really? Okay.
It's. The special is good. I will say that the FFT side thing is pointless. I think it is. There's no good FFT deck. All the good cards in FFT are named the same.
Yep.
You can do a loop where you play Ramza down, and you get an FFT character from the break zone. I think it is, and then. You can get Avelia back, use the special on Ramza, and then he can get back the Avelia, and you're just constantly drawing and stuff like that. But then it's a nice loop, but the rest of your deck's shit.
Yeah,
the rest of your deck's shit, so congratulations. So, I mean, the special is interesting, and there's probably things you can do with it, but is it worth... Like, obviously, I think you'd want to play this to get the value out of it. The FFT stuff, and I just don't see where that comes from. So I think, as I said, just running it for the special. Yeah, just running it for the special is not enough for me.
Okay, so you've gone C. So my side, I think just the special enough is puts it in A because I think it's fun. I'm completely counter that, but I'm not going to say any more of it. As everyone else sort of going Mitch's way of it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I would have put it in not in use if I could have.
Yeah, not in use tab. Ouch. Oh, crap. Alex, where are you? Are you similar? You put Fistless at the bottom. Is this just not quite as bad as that?
It's next to Fistless, yeah. Not in use is a good place to put it because it's one of those things, like, it's not a C-tier card. It's just an a C-tier archetype.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like FF, like, the only ones that I tried to look at, I was like, yeah, maybe I can build a cool FFT deck. I looked at it, and at the end of it, the only ones I wanted to play... the only one I wanted to play was the new Agrias. And then the Ramzas are like, well, like, so I put a Ramza in here. They put the effort to put in, like, 17 Ramzas into the card game. Probably one of them is good. And I look at the rest, I'm like, okay, so we got Dice Dog and Zalbarg. Well, guys... Bullshit.
It's been a good run at 50.
Yeah, so give it maybe, I don't know, 13 more Opus, and then we might have this card be really good in an FFT deck once they get, you know, 13 more characters, because they get, like, one an Opus. So, if that. So, yeah. So, you know, wait and see. Thank you for looking forward to it, etc.
Just don't get them all yet, Rich, okay? Just wait.
Yeah, it's just...
It's a good job we're not sponsored by Square Enix to do this. We get pulled. Alright, the chat is saying, searchable off Jegrin, lots of draw opportunity. Value can be found, surely? Question mark. No, I don't think.
I bet that's not as long. Oh, yes.
It was as long, yes. I just thought it was... The special, I think, is a bit interesting.
I said, there'll probably be something there. But, as I said, the rest of it, like, the first line is why you would play it. And... There is no reason to play it based on that first line.
Yeah, I mean,
I think don't focus on the first line and make a fun special deck because we've got other Avelias, so you can load up on the
deck, couldn't you? Just nick your opponent's deck.
I mean,
and then kill Lani and play another one.
Play summons as well, Luna Freire as well to bounce Lani back as well.
I mean, you could just play Earth and do that.
Yeah, I know. Trying to help this card.
Is there some mill decks that the stuff that mills when it dies, isn't there?
Thieves.
You could do a wind water. Mill, I don't know. I'm just trying to talk myself into the fact that I put this in.
Let me just tell you there are three FF tactics forwards and wind. Okay. They are.
No, I'm saying you've got to focus on the special and forget the FFT bit.
So your idea of focusing on the special is putting it in a mill deck.
Oh, I don't know. I'm just thinking of a... No, I'm not. I don't know. I'm just trying to. trying to think if maybe I just misdragged my cards into the tier maker. So I'm trying to rescue my opinion. I think maybe the art's good. I like the art, actually. I think that's nice. Cartoony art. Is it full art, yeah, this one?
We're really setting up for Opus 13 artwork review.
This one isn't in the book, is it? It won't be in the annual.
No,
is that a Mano? No, it's not. I didn't think it was.
It's just a screen grab.
Is that what I haven't played, actually. I haven't played
It's a screen grab from the PSP.
It's like how they do cutscenes and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. That's quite nice. Who is that sitting next to him? Is it Deleter?
Yeah.
So is that trying to hint at something?
Into something? No, they just get
deleter kills something, doesn't it? But then you'd have to have another FFT thing for the deleter to break. Is it deleter enters and you put something into the break zone?
Yeah, generally.
And break something else. So you'd have to have even more FFT, which don't really exist. I don't know. Okay, maybe it is awful. Well, I'm going to move on. There's got to be some good ones. Okay, so next, we've gone into light. Oh, go on, say.
Just quickly.
You're thinking A.
No. Just because you said that, the new deleter, the Ice Earth, it can come in, break itself, and you draw a card. Makes it good.
On the stack, you could special it as well.
Special it, yeah, and bring it back. Oh,
so you play the lead to draw a card and then play it back onto the field.
Yeah, so this card is garbage.
Okay, so we're into light and dialogue. We'll sort of review these together probably because they're similar to Materia and Spiritus, because they do similar things, even though they also do extra things, which I sort of overlooked. I was just chatting to Ben before we started. I failed to read the last line of the cards. But who wants to open on... Go on, Ben, you open on Materia Spiritus.
I put Materia in B and Spiritus in A. I could swap them both round or put them both on A. They're both pretty solid cards, to be fair. Obviously, they will get countered hard by Amaterasu, but, so can a lot of things.
So you put Spiritus higher because the dark cards are better.
Yeah.
And the last line of text, or
yeah, and the last line of text. Mitch was talking about Materia being better, and I'll let him explain why. pretty valid reason, I'll be honest.
We'll put Alex last in this one in case he pisses all over the grade again. So there's still a lot of C spots left for Alex. But go on then, Mitch. Why is Materia better than Spiritus?
All right, let's just say, with Spiritus, I always think if you want to play Spiritus early, search the Cam and then the Chaos. I think that's normally the logic a lot of people have thought. But then Cam will change element if it lives a turn, which you want it to, and then it doesn't trigger the Spiritus. So I think it's redundant. I think it's a bit of a shit play. You might as well just run the Cam and just play a better way to search it. But I think the Materia is actually better just because of the FF7 deck that's been going around. It's a cloud pod, they call it. The 2-drop cloud where you break something. You can play that cloud down, play down Materia, search the light Aerith, use the cloud to break the Aerith, you draw off of Materia, you get Aerith's effect, and you get a 5-drop. And I think that alone makes it just a better version of Spiritus, just for that deck. As I said, even with Spiritus, if you want to search the Cam and then they kill the Dark Forward, then they also might not have a forward to remove, whereas Materia killing something else is always going to be good, I think.
Alex, where do you sit with these light darks?
Oh, don't worry, Tom. They took up the last of my C spots.
Okay, I did. I was worried because I could see two C spots there, and we're about to go into multicolor. So I kind of knew what was coming. That's why I left you last. You just think they're garbage because they're not playable, or
they're not garbage. They're just like, if you could choose the order of cards in your deck, it's one of those kind of cards. They'd be really good if you draw them in the right order. They're just very niche. Like, you need to have another light or dark card you want to play. You need to be getting use out of the second ability of each of them,
And just the way it is, there's very few ways to... Because light and dark cards get power creeped each set, right? We had like Heen, which was really popular in like Opus, like what was it, 10 or something. And then Kadaj came out in 11. We were like, Heen's going to be amazing for so many sets. And then Kadaj came and knocked him straight off. Same sort of things happened all throughout the thing. So there's only about 4 or 5 playables of each. And maybe that's even at a stretch. So you got about 2 competitive choices for each to take from. And for the most part, do you want to be putting that level of awkwardness in of how many do you want to play? Do you want to play 3 dark forwards with Spiritus and then open these weird hands where you see your mulligan, you see 2 dark forwards, but you've not got Spiritus and you don't really want to do anything with these dark cards right now? Like, the best thing Spiritus is going for it is that it can bring out Neo X Death if you're a degenerate, but it's really all nice.
Yeah, Ben.
Actually, that might be a good time for me to inject here, because I put Spiritus as a C purely for that reason, and that is because people are going to chuck it into an X Death deck just to make sure you get your X Deaths turn 1, and you're unlikely to draw all of the darks if you have 3 and 3. I did some testing. I put one in FF decks and just kept drawing, and like 9 times out of 10, I got either the X Death and one of them, or just one of these to get the X Death going. So you pretty much always get X Death going turn 1. As you said, it's hard countered by Amaterasu. So you sort
but
of,
if you're yeah, but if you're doing you're that dead. Turn 1, then you don't know what your opponent's playing, and if they're playing fire and then they have that happen to have that card in their hand, you've paid 6. The second auto goes onto a stack, and then you cancel that, kill the forward, and you've paid. You've like basically lost your hand for nothing.
Yeah, but these people that play this deck, they don't care. They just go for it. It's an all or nothing deck, isn't it? You go for it. You deal with it. If they can't deal with it, you win. If they can deal with it, you don't win. Pretty much. I think the design of it was supposed to be like this ongoing control-y card, but it's not. It's just a high roll. Can you deal with it? No, okay, I'll have an easy win. So I just put it there. I think the dark stuff, as you were saying, is already powerful, and you use various dark stuff already, but you don't need Spiritus to enable that. Yeah. But Materia, the light stuff, doesn't see much play because it's generally not quite as powerful on their own. They sort of more set up and support your decks. So if you're making some kind of like funky deck, you put the light cards in, they'll have like a sort of synergy with the deck that will support it and bring it the best of it out, a bit like that sort of cloud era thing. So I think Materia therefore should go in an A slot, because I think this is a good push for light, which light sort of kind of needs just to get people playing it more. I think it's quite interesting, and could maybe do some sort of new combo-y stuff with the light cards. There's a lot of light cards and they never see play. So yeah, I like it.
Yeah, I mean, you can Materia and get the Citra, couldn't you, and get someone back as well. Yeah.
Yeah, or even the other cloud, the other FF7 cloud and stuff. Lena.
As Alex, bloody hell, that was a hard sentence to say. It's as Alex said, that if you could choose what you draw, then these cards would be much better. But you can't, and not only that, but material, like searching a light card is the same name. So even that's made it like a lot worse. Like, you can't search Materia, like, or you can't search a light card because the light card searcher is Materia. The same with Spiritus.
So many people didn't realize this was a forward and not a backup as well. How, if it was a backup, would it be busted or would it be right?
It would be busted.
Fair enough.
It would bust because it would be a backup that has power, so that would be just
cool. All right, let's move into then. I guess I'm just look at the spreadsheet. Ben and Mitch, you've got a lot of C's left. Alex has a lot of A's and S's left. Okay, so Lednar is the first multi-element that comes up on the website. Who wants to take Lednar? Firewind, FFTA. Does anyone really love it? We haven't had anyone really go how crazy and much they love a card. Okay, is it not Lednar?
not Lednar.
Okay, who was it? Mitch, you have Lednar.
So, this is, to me, it's either going to be a real strong card or it's going to be real shit. Because I think if Wind Lightning takes off, they will play Norshtarlin, into Sid FFCC, the one that can remove a counter, and just you play Ledna, or you have Ledna in your hand, and if you see that on their field, you're just not going to play your Ledna. It's just not going to be worth it. They just tap it, see later, Ledna's useless. If that's not a deck, which I think it will be, then again, Ice can just get like dull it. There's loads of ways to get around a card that can't be broken. Like, you don't have to discard the two. But if it comes down at a moment when your opponent can't get rid of it and they have to discard the two, it's very strong. Now I've said all of that, I feel like I've put it too high.
Where have you gone?
I've put it in A, I feel like, I think when it comes down and your opponent can't deal with it, that's when it's going to be really strong. Like, it's going to be, it's just going to sit there. Maybe you can protect it. Maybe you can do, I don't know, you got the Shara that can protect it. You can have, like, Unsaganashi and stuff like that. So, like, they have to discard two, but then they still have to destroy it. So it's going to use a lot of resources to get rid of it. If they have something like, I don't know, Death Gaze, I said FFCC, anything that removes or puts into the break zone like Fanprit, this card's crap. So it's all dependent on when you play it. You have to play it down at the right time.
There's a few cards this set that we're crying out for. We all thought we were going to get something that adds counters. Didn't come.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm guessing everyone else has gone B.
I've gone B, yeah.
No, I went A.
Oh, you went A. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
anything additional on of what Mitch said, or just...
I just think it's a good card. Like, it's weird because it's not even really an FFTA card. It's like the one, although it's in Firewind and they're also trying to push Firewind, it doesn't strike as exactly a martial arts card. It is, because it's in theory the perfect follow up to a Ritz attack, right? You go Marsh, Ritz, attack, untap three, played Lednar, main phase two, come at me, bro, kind of vibe from this guy. I was kind of just thinking outside of that, like in a vacuum, how good is a 3CP 8K with this kind of very, very annoying protection? And I think it's one of those ones where it looks very simple. You can judge it based on the simplicity and how kind of easy it is to counter based on like Sid FFCC and other bits and bobs. But if you're like, if the preparation isn't there for this card, you know, Sid FFCC will be there if they're playing Windlighting and Norse Talon, whatever. But everything else, it's like, this. If they're ever forced to discard two for it, the exact thing this kind of deck wants to do, if you're thinking about FFTA, is resource trading. It wants to just, because Ritz is so free, Marsh Ritz is so free, in that you're always ahead on card economy if you simplify the game state. So that's why Amaterasu is so good, because you don't mind discarding cards to negate their cards, because Ritz keeps getting you more CP to play your cards for free in the following turns every turn she lives. So this is a great kind of follow-up to all that, kind of, not, I wouldn't call it a boss monster, but a great, just, yeah, being 3CP and 8K is exactly where it wants to be good. Outside of Firewind, maybe like if you play off Tyro in some Earthwind or Earthfire, maybe it could even go in there, I don't know. But it just seems like just strong legend, you know? No nonsense.
Could you Magisa it? Would it be a Magisa target for the Mono Fire?
No. Well, you don't get the counter, so no.
Oh, yeah,
they've worded it very particularly. If it could get that counter from Magisa, this would be SSS, like from Magisa or from reviving it from the break zone with Marsh. Then yeah, but as it stands, they thought about that one.
Yeah, that's good. And that's why they haven't put the add counter as well. Add counter. Yeah,
I think it's still really good.
And even as I said, like, it can't be cut off March, and also because it gains the counter as an auto ability, you can Amaterasu it. So it's got.
Yeah, FFTA like really hates Amaterasu. They're all very vulnerable to it. It's just the more that you're giving it, you've got to make sure you've got your Amaterasu ready, and B, you don't waste it on the wrong one, I guess, because now you get. Do you hold off the Marsh, or do you wait for the Ritz, or do you wait for the Ledna? I guess that would make it a bit more interesting, I guess.
One last thing, if I may, as well.
Yeah.
You think about it from a perspective of, like, with fire cards like Belias, if you're up against, like, a Samurai matchup, and, you know, you go turn one, just play a backup, and they just go turn one, slam Tenzin, yeah, I'm going to be angry.
they play a Lednar, right? What if they, you know, they probably attack and you say block and they're like, oh, okay. So I have to discard two cards and my attack's wasted. And then you discard two cards and they belias you and you lose the game on the spot, right? So it's like, it's one of those things where you will actually sometimes just kind of get blown out by this, or you'll be afraid of cards like Belias or even cards like Amaterasu that will negate your auto abilities that would otherwise destroy it. Because the onus is on you, right? You do an auto ability that kills Lednar, you then have to discard the two cards. Once you've discarded the two cards, they can Amaterasu the auto ability. Lednar's still there. Your opponent's down a lot of cards. Lednar doesn't care what happens to him after that. He's just a body on board swinging for damage. He dies, you'll play another one. You know?
That's it. We've got Rich in our team. He's loving this card. And he's there. That's what he's talking about, the sort of resource countering and stuff. Just the stickiness. And he loves tactics as well. Tactics advanced. So.
Yeah. I also think things that like can cancel an action. I mean, it's going to be a hard deck to pull off. But if you can put like water in this, and they discard the two to remove the counters, doing like maybe they like dealt 8k to it and they discard two, and then you do the Leviathan or you've got like a green mage that cancels an action, they've discarded those two and you keep the counter, your forward's still there.
Porum cancels as well, doesn't he?
Yeah. So as I said, it would be a hard deck to work out, but I think it will make this card very like almost impossible to deal with.
Does that Dark Emperor just mean they can't discard to kill him?
Yeah,
that's quite nice.
If but then that's what you get for running that Emperor. So
that's true. So yeah, what did I? Ben, you went. Have I got yours down?
I put B.
B. Yeah, I went B as well. Cool. Okay, we'll move into the next one. Mitch, I'm going to hand this one to you because it's the Earth Ice, and I know it's going to trigger you.
I thought this was
going to be Snow or Sarah, who was the Wind Ice, sorry, not Wind Ice, Earth Ice Legend. Instead, you got Typo Man, White Tiger, Lassie, Nimbus. Talk me through this card and everything it means to you.
So,
for spare team.
thank you for this. For as an act, like the name of the card, I fucking hate it. Like, it triggers me so much that this could have easily just been like Snow or Sarah or something like that. Bothers me more is I actually think I like the card. I think it's really like Ice Earth. I don't think is particularly strong. It might be. Maybe there is a deck there. There used to be a deck there, so I don't think it's going to be too like hard to think of. But as I said, I think I like this card. Like it can just dominate a game if you play it or like early on off of your three backups. It's kind of boring. I've tried everything I can to like work out why I don't like this, and all I've come up with is it's boring, and that's it. And then I've got a list of why I like it. So, yeah, no, I actually really like this card.
Where have you put
it? It pains me. I put him in A.
You put him in A, begrudgingly. If it was called Snow or Sarah, you'd be going S, right? Just cause
probably, but I really think the with everything that's come out recently, I think what we mentioned about giving tokens to something, like I think that would have been fantastic on a 13 card. Like give Finil tokens, give Orphan tokens, it would have been really good. So I would have been disappointed if that effect was on a 13 card, but this is very strong, as I said. And
just for extra context, basically the whole of spoiler season, Mitch has been building an Ice Earth FF13 deck because he was convinced it was coming because there was supposed to be FF13 support in this set. It didn't really materialize that much. And so it was all set for this legend. And all he talked about was this legend, this Ice Earth legend. He'd worked out all the ratios of what colors would get legends and what combinations. And he's like, yeah, this Ice FF13 legend, I'm going to like dominate the meta. And then he got this. It's like the first thing I looked at when the set got revealed. I was like, who's the Ice legend? It's like, uh-oh, it's Typo.
There's six FF13 cards. Not that I'm salty.
You actually got more FF8 cards than me.
Yeah, that's how bad this
is. The ultimate kick
that's
in the
balls. That's just embarrassing.
So yeah, Mitch has gone A. Has anyone gone similar or worse?
I've gone C.
C.
C. Yeah.
Boring.
Boring. Alex, where do you sit with this one?
Pretty missed here. I'm a big fan of boring. well, not a big fan of boring. I too was exactly like Mitch. I thought it was going to be snow. I was looking forward to snow. And then, yeah, you think back on the message they put when they announced that Lightning Returns is going to be in the set. And I believe it sort of specifically said they are introducing Lightning Returns as its first appearance in the game. And yeah, that's a real introduction, bro. It's like they had a couple of foreign exchange students come in, and you've got the class of Opus 13 is just like 28 British people and then like two foreigners. That's basically what Lightning Returns is in this set. It's very disappointing. However,
do you think maybe they meant Lightning Returns because like we had one set where we didn't get a new Lightning card, so they're like, oh, we get Lightning's returning because we'll give you two. And everyone thought they meant the game.
But yeah, this card is very, very good. I'm looking to kind of jam it into anything I can at the moment. I've been trying it even without Ice Earth, like using the new Sara to search out Princess Sarah, make the Princess Sarah ice, and then playing that in Water Earth. I just think any way you can put it, it's worth having a look. You can bring it out with Dusk. With the warrior light from what is it, I think last set, right? The one that plays a three drop from your hand.
Yeah, the water. You pay one water, don't you, or something?
Yeah. It's probably the best thing you can do of three backups outside of Marsh Ritz, but it's also just very stable. It's not weak to Amaterasu. And your opponent just has to kill it. You can't afford, like, if Garland 9 Dolan froze at the start of your opponent's turn, you know, we'd still be playing Garland 9 a lot today. This is kind of what that card does, because it Dolan freezes card and entry, which is like what Garland does, and then it's going to do it every single turn. But it's also got 9k and Brave. Yeah, it's on a Dolan card. That's the definite downside to this one. But
and you have to cast it with backups, it's kind of been double hit by the dual element side.
But it's cast, so you can cheap it, you know, bring it in for free, like off of Civil Phoenix, stuff like that. I think that's
exactly, yeah.
So
yeah, I went A. I think it's good. Again, I do think it's a little bit boring, but it is a bit of a beast. It's a problem card. It's weird that it's similar sort of, well, it's not similar text, but like Fissilis, Alex, you really, really hated. You were saying a dull freeze is not worth it. Is this because this is brave and cheaper?
It's cheaper just... and unconditional. Right, anything could be going on in the game, and this guy is always dull and freezing, and he's always dull and freezing on attack. Yeah, the draw card is nice on Fissilis, but
Does she dull and freeze on attack, or is it only into the field?
Chooses one of the two.
Yeah.
Okay. If they've got three or
And only if your opponent has less than three or less.
Yeah. If you're behind.
Oh, so you've always got to keep them discarded, haven't you? You've always got to keep their hand low. Yeah, that's quite bad. Yeah.
I think my main problem with this is that it is ice, and I hate ice. So.
You do love Earth, though.
I do love Earth.
You don't even need to play ice with this one, because you can. Sort of Tyro and etc. With the backups.
I almost put this card in S, so it was that. I think it's that strong.
Yeah, it's definitely a problem. It's a problem card. It's quite nice for where the meta is as well, because you want to the early stuff that's coming in that you want to. You can keep it dull freezing, like Shikari's and all that sort of stuff like that. There's quite a lot of aggro at the moment. They keep stuff dull frozen. It's quite nice. Gets you, like, brings control a bit back into it, doesn't it?
And it's brave. That's my brave always a great keyword to have.
Yeah, brave and have backup snow down and just dull in two things.
Is there any typo? Terrible colours for typo synergy, though, isn't it? There's a bit of ice typo around, but I'm not sure how much.
Yeah, there's ice typo.
It's more the wind stuff, isn't it? Where you need the stuff that picks stuff back up and needs typo is in other elements though, isn't it? Yeah, okay, we'll move on then.
Sorry, is typo, is it just making fun, like typo?
No, because he's category type zero. Oh, sorry, type zero, yeah, type zero.
I thought he was just like a typo, like
he's not a typing typo.
Error or something. It was just an inside joke, my bad.
No, someone will probably try and charge you 300 quid for this card. So it's a typo. It's worth $300 now. The colour in the top left pixel of this card is slightly off. So does that mean it's worth another $400? A lot of that going on at the moment. Right, Golbez is next. Ben, you are Golbez, Ben. You can have this one. Wind Lightning Golbez.
I love Golbez and I love this card, but I've put it in C because...
This is most unexpected.
The betrayal.
I'm only ever going to play it with the other Golbez and the Archfiends, and it's going to be such a crowded deck. And I'd probably run the 6-drop as a 3 and this at a 2. And the Archfiends, and then those other 2-drops, and no backups, no summons.
I can see Sephiroth's sword coming through his back right now, out of his stomach. Yeah. Okay, I was not expecting that. Alex, your C slots are filled up. Where are you going for Golbez?
Yeah, I put him right at the top of A. Like, there was one of the top space of A. He'd probably be an S tier card, but A for me. It's one of those cards that, whether or not Wind Lightning is good, he's one of those cards I rate purely on how good he is as a card. Like, if Wind Lightning is good, it'll be partly because of him, because he's just such a good card as it is. He's just a stable, generic guy. I wouldn't exactly call him interesting either. But, you know, having a searcher for 2-drops in particular is pretty interesting. It's 2-drop card as well, pretty sure, right? It doesn't even...
Yeah, just costs 2 cards.
Characters. You can get summons off it. Just like 3 CP9Ks, as we see from Nimbus, pretty good. And having EX Burst is just another kind of icing on the cake with Golbez. And also, like, the more I kind of think about it, I've already played against it once where he did come down on 6 damage. It didn't win the game, but it's like I can definitely see situations where that 6 damage will actually just lose your opponent the game if you play it on 6.
Was that person playing Archfiends, or was it just searching the...
It was very much like an Opus 12.5 deck when Golbez was like spoiled. People were putting him in decks and he was still had this deck around. But I can see the potential there. In anything, yeah, if you want to play an Archfiend, sure. If you want to put it in just a deck with 2s, because every deck likes 2s. Just a great all-purpose, all-round card. Looks very cool. Golbez, great character. Yeah, just 10 out of 10 for me, mate.
Well, 9 out of 10, you should put him in A.
Well,
you got an S-slot spare.
All right.
9.5. So, Mitch, where have you've either gone... You were full up on C as well, I think. Where did you go with Golbez? Oh, you got quite a lot of C left.
I've
missed some of yours. Where did you put Golbez?
I put Golbez in S tier, and that was the one I wasn't sure about. It was either going to be Nimbus or Golbez is going to be S tier. But I think this card's great. Like, you can use it, like, play it early, search Cosmos, Chaos, set yourself up. It's really, like, if you're... You've even got the new card that everyone, well, Azan seems to love, but I think a lot of people are a big fan of it. Is that Kunshiro,
yeah.
Yeah, everyone seems to like be losing their mind over that card, and this helps set up the special and stuff like that. So anything, like, it's got so many targets because it is such a 2-cost card. I think this card's like great whenever you see it.
Yeah, it's good off the EX Burst as well, having an EX Burst on it. Yeah, Peter in chat is saying S tier. Golbez, search Cosmos. That's quite cool. I put Golbez B just because I didn't overlook the damage 6, but I see that as not attainable. It'll never happen. Or it'll happen like you can't really build around going to damage 6 for your deck to kick off. So I don't see that as really coming off. But the EX Burst and search cost 2 is obviously very good. But just a B. What did I think was better? Yeah, Ovidia. Shit. Okay, fair enough. just a word on Archfiends. There's a couple of people really love the Archfiends that you see in the groups and stuff, just for sort of sentimental reasons. I think it was okay, wasn't it, in Opus 2 or whatever it was, when the Archfiend deck first came out. Is there anything off the Archfiend sort of wonky deck? It's going to be a lot of colours, isn't it? But...
Yeah, the new Barbaricia, when you've got all 4 of them out, just searches that card out for you as well. So it's ridiculous.
Yeah, Alex, you mentioned some of those like archetypes getting support in this set was quite cool. Is Archfiends one of them you would try?
I think I will. I think I will try Sara at some point. You've got to figure out the backup line. It's really hard with four different colours, but you got, like I keep saying, Sara to bring out Princess Sara to make one of the colours for you. So you got the water for Kag, and then the whatever for anything else. Golbez is already in wind, so if you do want to go for this Golbez, then you've already set up Barb's colour alongside it. So you've always got, whatever you go with, you're always setting up at least two of them fairly well. And so if you can fit in like a, you know, the Cosmos and or Tyros and stuff like that, it can definitely be done. Barb is very, very cost effective when she's on point. It's just also figuring out the Golbez because they're all kind of good. Yeah. Opus 1 gets out all four at once. Opus 2 can be very cheap. And this one's just all around solid. So yeah, it's going to take some thinking about to make an Archfiends list, I think.
Yeah, Mitch, a nod to the artwork. Do you like this one? Is this one of the custom ones, isn't it, where they get commissioned someone in?
No,
it's like a Lord Vermilion, isn't it?
Oh, this is from the game. Okay. I thought it looked a bit like the Fenrir art. When I know that was a special. So I thought it was,
I think that was like a Japanese arcade game, Lord Vermilion. I seem to remember looking it up ages ago.
Okay.
That's why we've never seen it.
Okay, that's pretty cool. Yeah, okay. Cool, we're running out. We're nearly done. Okay, Sophie. Earth, water. Go on, Mitch, you can have this one.
I love it.
Make sure you get your say on it.
But I'm also going to group it up with Sara Mobius. I think those two are amazing together, and I think it makes like them two alone pretty much are the reason that Earthwater can be considered becoming a tier one deck. Because Sophie gets the boost off of the dual element, so she become AK, and then you've got the Sara to do the effect of removal, or if it's just on an early board, then you can do you can just draw the card. And the thing that I always like the idea of, or immediately attracted me to this deck, was the Lena into one of them and then just play the other. I think that's very strong. And then Sophie at the end of the turn, obviously you deal them a point of damage and draw yourself a card. You're just gaining value. It's just a big surprise at the end of the turn. Like, you could put them to six, drop this card, and then that's it. They've lost, and it'd be not really much they could do about it. So I love this card.
So it's S, yeah?
Yeah. Okay, sorry, S. Yep.
Just checking. Because you said how much you love someone else. Yeah.
I love this card. It's a C.
Just like Moon Golbez.
Ben, this is a monk, so
yeah.
How relevant is monk? How relevant is the job in this?
It's not essential, but you know, you can play it off of Yang and or the Ursula as well. So you can go Yang, Ursula, then this Sophie. Get three forwards for three CP. That's crazy.
Does Ursula kill herself to give something 5k, or is it the other way around? Kill something in Ursula gets 5k.
Okay. Okay.
That'd be good. I've been getting to 10,000 powers. Not too difficult, is it, outside of the water, the forward
abilities?
Especially
with water and Vikings, and the new Viking is ridiculous. Goes really well with this.
You could even use that backup Kefka, couldn't you, just to win the game? It would kill it, wouldn't it? But no, I put
you don't
it
need F- to, but yeah,
I put mine out because I said S tier as well. But it was mainly because it's a bit different, and it's a element combination don't see too much of. So it's like pushing you into new realms. And yeah, that point of damage thing is cool. There's been a few cards more recently which are doing that, where you can sort of directly deal people damage. So I think it's quite fun and cool. Should get some interesting things. I don't think there's one deck it goes in where it's really obvious. There's lots of different ways, things you can do it, which I think is cool. So it gives it the S ranking. Alex, I'll move into you, just in case you're going to...
B tier for me. I think it's garbage.
Garbage.
No, I'm joking.
I started typing. Mitch had a little... can hear the palpitations.
I agree, guys. A bit flustered there. Yeah. Card's completely insane. It's the fact that the main part that makes it so good is that it gets 4k from other dual element water earth forwards. Doga's like... I think Doga is playable. I built one with Doga in it that was pretty solid. And Sara Mobius is one of the best commons ever printed in the card game. the pair of them together. Like, you have four backups, you play your Sophie, play your Sarah. Sophie gets pumped to 8k, use Sarah to make Sophie fight something. Very good. Nicole gives Sophie 3k, you draw a card when Sophie comes in. Yeah, like, just getting her to 10k obscenely easy, and she just, you always do it in the turn she comes in, and she then pays for herself, deals a point of damage on top for no particular reason. It's quite unparalleled how good this card is and how much opens up Water Earth, which hasn't been outside of Neox Death an archetype for a very long time. So yeah, fantastic.
I was going to say, actually, with the not many people playing much Earth Water, but obviously there is that Neox Death deck. This doesn't really fit in that though, does it? So that's quite nice. Has anyone played Mobius?
Yes.
It's a Sophie. Is this in flavour with her character? She stood behind a waterfall, I guess, on the Earth.
Yeah, it's just not particular. I don't think the Mobius characters have particular themes, like, apart from the only thing they have, well, yeah, in the card game, the main traits having kind of like multiple effects you can choose from, or they've got, yeah, like Sophie's kind of doing the same thing here. Like, you've got a War Forge against you, you've got Earth Forge against you, okay, but in terms of character, no, she's one of the main characters in the second arc, but I don't see how this has really anything particularly to do with that.
Particularly to define why she would be doing the damage stuff. Giorgio in the chat gives it 5 S's. He really likes this one. Yeah, I think there's been a lot of hype for this one. Which is good, because that's what the legend should do. It's took us a while to get into this sort of thing. Let's hype it up a bit. That said, let's move into 9.
can we move out quickly?
Alex, you start with 9, and then we'll go from there.
Well, start off with the classic 6-9 lore. I ran out of spaces in C tier, so I put them at the end of B, because I thought all the other cards were worse. Like, it's one of those ones where, like Avelia, it's a really good card, but like, I think 9 generally, a really good support forward is better than a really good support backup, so that's why I kind of place them higher. But yeah, man, it's one of those ones where, so they mentioned, I think Kageyama did a column a few, like, last year sometimes, saying they'd had to shift about some of the cards in Opus's, like, I think it was specifically 13 and 14 because of the way the dual element cards were. I have this hopeful suspicion that there's a load of Type Zero support next set, and they 13. Had to put and 13. Sure, they had to put 9 in this set because of the way the dual element multis line up. So they put 9 in, and they're like, okay, well, I guess we'll throw them a bone and put in Sync and 8 in the same set. It's going to look very weird. But I think, you know, it's one of those things where there is no Lightning Cadet in the set. So this in Limited, for example, you can't do it. They made the effort to put the X-Death Mannequin in. Whether that was for Limited or specifically for L3, I don't know. But the fact that there is no Lightning Cadet would imply there'll be one in the next set to align with L3. Or why would they not just print, why would they not reprint Jack as a common or something like that? So this was playable in Limited and L3 straight away. So I think this one is just wrong place, wrong time. If Type Zero does finally get the support it needs, it will be tier one, because this and Ace are that good. So it really depends on what the next set brings. If it brings Type Zero and it brings and the rest of the stuff it brings is up to, you know, not more powerful than Type Zero ends up being.
Yeah, it's a weird thing with Type Zero, isn't it? The only thing I say with that, we saw it before, didn't we, where they put a card that had no uses in the sealed, was like an archetype one, and then the next set got the support it needed. The only thing with this is, I know they were talking about, because in chapters they had that it wasn't dual enemy, it was like dual character cards. I don't know if you've probably seen this. Yeah. So like, you had like a Snow Lightning, which were both, it was called Snow Lightning, and it had a picture of both of them, and it was like cost 7, and it did like super strong effect or something. But you can't play either of those cards at the same time. So you can play the dual character, but you couldn't have like the Snow backup, for example. So if he has talked about possibly bringing that into the thing, so if you then get that with type zero, it's going to be a name clash. It's going to be like Ace and Sync or something. It might not work, mightn't it? But unless it would count as both, you'd have like a Fire Lightning dual character. You just dole that, and it counts as both of them.
Yeah. Lady brought that up real quick. I mentioned the selfie in this set, the artwork, the Amano art for selfie was used on the dual card selfie, along with I think it's school she's sitting next to in the artwork that you currently see.
Yeah, it would make more sense to be Irvine, but I think it is school. I think you're right.
But yeah, I'm pretty sure there's a school selfie in chapters with that exact artwork. So maybe they are planning to do it and they just don't care about FF8. So
that's
just
probably more likely. That's the more likely thing.
Obvious, isn't it, that they don't care about FF8.
Yeah. That's fairly obvious, yeah. It's weird that selfie, actually. I don't want to sidetrack too much because we're supposed to be hyping up 9. But she gives haste to multi-element cards. But obviously, there's no multi-element FF8. And being, I don't know, it's a weird one, isn't it? It's based in fire, and she gets all the power of fire cards, but then it gives multi-element cards. It's a weird one. It's a weird card.
Wouldn't it be rad if Selfie was named, I don't know, like, Eggjob's Class Zero Cadet that's not Ace, right? Then you could doll that Selfie type Zero Cadet for 9, and then give 9 haste, then kill 2 things.
Wouldn't that be cool? Would make more sense, wouldn't it? That would be cool, yeah.
The one type zero being too good now.
Well, that's the only thing with types. I did put this one in C as well, just for sort of similar reasons you said. But with type zero, once it gets going, you're getting a lot of cards now that, you know, if you've got all this set up, Ace is going to kill someone when it attacks. 9 is going to kill someone when it attacks. I think there's another one of the new ones, which does stuff when it attacks. So once they're up and running, it will be quite a good deck. Just don't know if you'll be able to get it up there. Is anybody... Ben, you've still got an A slot left.
I'll put it in B.
Yes, you have got a slot. I thought for me you didn't have a B slot left. Alex, B. Ben, B. Mitch, you've got C.
Yeah, mine's C as well. I think this card, like, I'm drawing it to a, like, comparison to a different element, but comparing this to, like, Cloud of Darkness that we had, this is, like, a million times better, but the rest of the cards let it down. And I think that's been a big theme with the rest, like the set has, like we had Avelia, a few others that I just think if the other cards work with it, it's going to be good. And it's going to be very good, but it just hasn't worked out like that yet. And I think 9 will be good in the future, as Alex said, especially if the cadets come out next set, this card will be amazing. But this set, I think it's a C.
I'm getting booed in the chat. someone said S tier, Giorgio. Is that George? Yeah, okay. George, yeah, he plays typo every other week. Type zero, sorry. Every other week.
So I find it.
Sky Pirates or Type Zero. Yeah, this is 2 faves. So he thinks this is very good.
New Sky Pirate as well, this set, wasn't there?
Yeah, Balf.
The Balf, yeah.
Oh, so
that triggers some people as well, isn't it? Okay, for everyone else though. As again, it's another one, like, we get all these type zero cards all the time, but no one plays type zero, I don't think. I've never, like, if you ask most Final Fantasy fans about type zero, I don't think hardly any of them have played it. But they seem to love it. Maybe Japan really likes it.
I think
it just
think
hasn't
loves
translated
it.
Across.
And I have a sneaky suspicion that they don't even know what Final Fantasy VIII is.
Well, Kageyama certainly doesn't. He's clearly never played it. He's read the box.
We want Angelo.
Justice for Angelo. Or just anyone else, really. There's like a whole world there to pick from. Just anyone who's not your main 4 party members. Would be nice. But, yeah, I'm not going into this again. Every podcast. Trigger me with 8. Okay, the final one is Celestia. Another type 0. This is Ice Water. Alex, I know you weren't a fan of this one. I think when it was spoiled, I think we talked about it when you were on our show last time. Actually, no one likes this. Oh, Ben likes this. You've got an ace left. Go on then.
I like it because you play this, the Cecil, and Imp down, and they've got to overpower your forwards. It's ridiculous.
Not a hard ask, is it, mate? Cecil, Emperor, and this on the same board. What world do you live in?
I do that quite often.
You need to have a few games against Ben, actually, then it makes sense.
Yeah, no, none of them will have. He wouldn't have played a single backup during any of this time, but it will happen somehow.
It doesn't matter. This is a four-costed multi-element, so you get away with playing it off two discards for CP. You all hate it, and Mitch, you've got. Actually, I think I miss your Materia Spiritus ones, Mitch.
All right, I put Materia in B and Spiritus in C, and this is going.
This is in C.
This is going capital C for Celestia. It's shit. This.
Fine. This and the one drop monster. I'll prove you all wrong again.
This is your cryo moment.
Ice water isn't great. They haven't got big forwards, really, that need protecting. They need stuff that needs, like, their water characters, or from when it was around, were Layla Viking. You wouldn't break them. You'd play Balfour and just kill them all. So they needed something like that. They needed, what's that other one? The fire water one that reduces damage taken. I think that would have been better.
Oh yeah, that's good. I like that one.
But this, I don't even know when you'd play it. Like, once you've got an established border, then you sort of slap this down and be like, right, deal with it. But then, I don't know, I just don't see when this card is good.
This is actually the most split we've been, because you've got an A, I put it B, Alex, you put it, oh, you put B as well, actually. And then Mitch put it C. We've got a full spread here, apart from this. I think it's all right. I don't think it's that bad. It's got ice water. Again, it's like a pushing you into sort of a deck that's not really being played that much. Can't be broken by someone's abilities. It's good. Don't deal damage. Although it's not great with samurais around and stuff, because it just deals everything damage. But ice
it's annoying to deal with. I will grant you. But then... ice water isn't great. Maybe the only time I could see this being useful is if you play this in like water earth, and then you slap this down as a counter to like Shadow Lord or something. Like you use the Princess Sarah to tap for ice, and then you can play this and then protect them from Shadow Lord. I think that would be all right. But then, is it just a tech in that's only if people are running it and stuff like that? I don't know.
Just realised it's job warrior as well. And I've just remembered that we never get any warriors, and the warrior support is FF8 in fire. So it's just another middle finger up. There's no way you can play that. There's no way of teching this in a warrior deck either, is it? Blimey. Okay.
Well, the Earth can search it as well with the Herg.
Guys, stop. Oh my god.
Thank you, Alex, for reeling us back in. That was going to go to.
I like to finish on like a high, and I don't know.
Should have finished with Sophie then. We
all I think the thing about warriors, you might actually be high. Yeah.
I'm just looking for anything to save it. I thought it was all right. Right, I'll put Sophie back on the screen so everyone gets happier. That's all our legends concluded. If you're listening along or watching, to go to the tier maker thing and put your scores in. Remember, the actual website will let you do more cards. You can put like four in S, but that's not the point. So do it properly and save your score, and then we'll see if we can get an average, and we'll publish it somewhere. See what the average is for our listeners. It's going to be easily skewed if not many people do it. We might be interested to see how people have ranked them, with everyone isn't. We've had some differences on the chat and stuff.
That's good. You need a bit of difference in life though, because otherwise it's boring, isn't it? Want everyone playing the same deck every week, is it? I mean, who does that? Plays the same deck every week.
But yeah, we've done all the legends. Is there anything from the set that anyone wants to call out that was non-legend that they think is they're super excited about, or?
One drop monsters,
yeah.
Move on.
Alex or Mitch, is there anything? The lightning. As in the card name lightning, or?
Yeah, yeah. It's close to being.
Which one? The multi element one?
No,
mate. I'm joking.
Seven drops. This is an interesting card. I don't know if it's actually gonna like hit the mark yet, but it just seems so cool. And like apparently it's based entirely off like a Magic: The Gathering card, But it's just, yeah, it's just a really cool thing. The artwork looks good. I think a lot of people are going to be chasing that.
Is it a full art one?
Yeah, it's a full art. Right.
Oh, it's the sleeves as well.
I thought this image, yes.
Go on, Mitch, tell us your fun fact about the artwork.
I genuinely thought this card was shit. And then I got the full art of it. And I was like, right, I want to sell this card. So I was like, I'm going to plug it. I'm going to say it's amazing. Looked into it. And I actually love the card now. I think it's really good. And I want to keep the full art. But the reason I like it is because of something Peter said, that in Wind Lightning, you can play down the lightning and then Althea it back in response to the effect. So then those two forwards that you've targeted are removed from the game permanently because lightning's not on the field to return them. Then you can ditch a card to play the Althea again and you set it up for next turn if they play two more forwards. And I think that's very strong that you can just basically do a raid easily. I think there's a turn that you have to, like, and I think you lose like 2 CP from doing that play. But if you've already got an established board and then they're like trying to recover, this will stop them recovering. This will just kill whatever they've, like, this will remove whatever they put down. And I think it's a very strong card because of it.
So explain explain that stack again very slowly because people are going to start messaging. They said something about lightning. I didn't understand what they meant.
Okay, so when lightning enters the field, it says choose two forwards, opponent controls, and remove. Well, you can do your own. It doesn't really matter, but remove them from the game. So, and then when that's on stack, you've just chosen a two. So then you Althea back your lightning, and then the second effect is when lightning leaves the field, return each card removed by lightning's ability to its owner's hand. It hasn't been removed yet. So lightning's disappeared, and then those two cards that you've chosen are removed from the game. So lightning can't bring them back because she's already left the field.
So the stack resolves top down. The remove from the field hasn't happened yet, and lightning's already gone.
Yeah, exactly.
That's quite nice. Is there any other cards that do something similar in that?
No, it's very, well, as far as I'm aware, it's very unique.
So, Dorgan and Death Gates. So, the specific wording is Dorgan and Death Gates, which have this do have a kind of similar effect. They say for as long as Dorgan or for as long as Death Gates is on the field, whereas Lightning Set has a when Lightning leaves the field trigger, right? So, basically, the reason it works is because when Lightning leaves the field, her when ability activates. Triggers, it resolves backwards. When lightning's left the field, there's nothing to bring back. And then the first effect still resolves because it's not dependent on her still being on the field. So that's why she's going to be, in most cases, better than Dorgan and Death Gaze. But on the flip side, if you go for the ability that banishes two forwards from your break zone to get back later, and they kill her on the stack with something like Alexander, you lose the two forwards and you lose the lightning. So it's a timing-based thing, you know, so it can be a double-edged sword, but it can be very powerful.
Got some combos in the chat. Escher and Tarlet in, Althea back, then replay Escher. Like that?
Yeah.
Okay. It did have a laughy face on it, a laughy emoji. Yeah. The second one, okay, it's another Escher and Tarlet. Escher and Tarlet, Renoa, take two forwards back from your break zone and may move two of your opponent's forwards. I suggest Renoa, but he's added in the Escher and Tarlet just for the freebie. Yeah, I mean, he could Renoa if he can afford to Renoa it. I guess that's where Escher and Tarlet comes in.
That's a lot.
That's
of
nice because you get your cards back and then bust theirs. That's good. Is it a good Regis target as well when it dies?
Yeah.
It's quite a good Regis target as well.
I mean, I was thinking, like, before Peter said about the Althea, I was thinking of a way to, like, kill it. But I think Althea is a lot better, especially in Wind Lightning when it's hopefully becoming a thing.
Alex, you want to briefly talk about mannequins? Since you're sort of you're named after your nickname in the game. Well, you originally got, like, 10 nicknames, I think. But yeah, XDef's your boy to have a word for the mannequins.
I played a mannequin game on stream on Sunday and played every card I had on the board when I won the game as a mannequin. Xdeath was on like 15k. Great success, tier 1 deck for sure. GG boys.
Why are you laughing?
Because I think they're going to be good. I just...
I sort of believe you, but I also don't when you talk about it.
You guys can be sent to the void if you want.
I want to. No, that's the thing. You're
disappointed, Alex, that it is a reprint, but it's not that little bit better, you know, because, you know, power creep and all that.
I mean, it's way better because the cards in the set make it better, but yeah, kind of sad they couldn't do a new one to go alongside it, give you the option of picking and choosing. But hey, we already had the perfect card, so why make a new card when you've already got one that's so good?
It's a weird one for a reprint, because I don't know if it's that hard to get hold of. I know, like, they want to... doesn't strike me. It was a promo as well, wasn't it?
In theory, it's
doing a Jack reprint. Could you imagine if they'd done both reprints in this set, both Lightning? I'm sure everyone would have been fine with that, wouldn't they?
Mitch, have you got anything else? You sort of jumped on Lightning as well.
Yeah, I mean, I want Unai to work. I don't think it will. I think it's really interesting. I just also think it's kind of shit, but I really want it to work. I think what really interested me was with Doga, like, you can use that to get summons into your break zone that sets up Unai. And that the special is 20k to Dolphord. No one, like, nothing's surviving that. But
this sets, that worries me a bit when you start seeing the numbers getting to that on a card. Everyone already, like, shits the bed when you see 10k, but now it's quite a standard thing. And then you see that start getting printed on, you're like, oh no, what's coming next?
Might be able to kill a Sophie with that ability.
Or a Vincent in my 2-4 deck.
Vincent, yeah. Alex has gone very quiet. We'll move on from Unai.
He's not interested with Unai.
And I think Unai's cool.
My boy Laguna. I'll end on that. Where is he? There he is. I've just ripped the same art from the EX Laguna, but made it. It looks more like a Theatre Room card. So it's lazy again for the FFA stuff. But I'm just glad he exists, even though he shouldn't be called Laguna. Should be. Maybe this could be Squall and Laguna should be the backup. Would have been better, but I don't know. At least we've got some FFA.
I think you've got enough good Squalls. You don't need
don't need more Squalls. You need more everyone else. Not called Rinoa. Actually, that Rinoa is good, actually. Maybe that's a better one.
I actually really like the Quistis as well. Like a lot.
The Quistis backup is cool as well. The Rinoa is quite good because if you are an FF8 fan, you might be able to do some kind of FF8 deck now. It might
all three
be
of
right.
You out there.
if you can choose between your Rinoas, which is always the hardest, one of the hard name clashes. Yeah, the Quistis is quite cool as well. Yeah, even outside of FF8, you could forget the damage 5 bit and it's still pretty good.
The Rinoa and Hope seems strong. The new Hope. Like on the 5 damage. But I don't see if it ever being able to swing.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, any other hot picks? We go, Alex, you've gone very quiet. We started talking about terrible cards. A few people mentioned that. Is it Gudo? Gets like the double attack. And he's in like a meta colours. Would you pay him in your Earth Wind?
I'll give him a go. I mean, he's a bit like, I don't know. Ishtola was playable because she was like a 3 mana with a 9k and had that unblockable text. Gudon's 1 CP more. And I think that might do him in the long term. But we'll see if he can slide into a slot somewhere. But I'm not feeling too confident now after trying to put him in decks. But we'll see.
Cool. Well, I guess that's what we've talked for quite a long time. Peter's laughing about something. Probably. Not sure which card it was referring to.
Pro opinion, though. Do we think Engineers is going to be good?
No.
No, I don't. Okay. I'm not even a pro, and I don't think so. not
no, but I know Ben will say yes. Yes, it's going to work.
13 sets in 13 more sets, then yeah, it'll be playable.
There's another weird one where they sort of enticed to think, ooh, something engineering's coming that's going to be interesting. It's like, oh no, just another pointless archetype support that doesn't really do much. Just so they can say they've done it. Yeah, the balance of archetype support is weird in this game. But yeah, well, cool. Well, that concludes our Legend review show for Opus 13. So thanks everybody for listening, if you've listened live or if you're listening back on demand. Thanks to everyone on the panel for joining. Alex, I know you dropped in last minute. Always welcome on the show. And Ben and Mitch, you know, you kind of have to because you're Team Calamity. So thanks for coming in, filling the spaces. But yeah, hope you've enjoyed it. Do submit your tier rankings. And yeah, we'll see you next time. See you later.
Bye.
See you later.